On the Road Again. Willie Nelson sang that some time ago. He's still going. Wow. If you don't know that song, most of you probably do, you probably could sing it. I'm not. But the first few lines, just can't wait to get on the road again. The life I love is making music with my friends. And I can't wait to get on the road again, going places that I've never been, seeing things that I may never see again. And I can't wait to get on the road again. Well, in a way, we're on the road again, folks, because this is the resurrection period in the church's life. And we're talking about resurrection, so we're on the road again, talking about the resurrection. And you may, as you think about life in your time and think back, you may have had experiences that completely changed your life. Now, one third of the population in the United States, they've had experiences and they call it born again. But that kind of change can happen more than just one time. It may happen again and again. And that's why the title this morning is On the Road Again, because we could say, and again, and again, and again. When we take another look at the resurrection, we see it's a different kind of life. A different type of life, a new paradigm to experience in life that many people in this country don't quite understand. Peter then wrote about it in his text that we said together this morning, and said that it's not the same life that people live related to how much somebody earns. Peter said gold or silver. It's not related. This kind of resurrected life is not related to being a winner or how much one wins or being first. That's not it, folks. Or having power over others, and how much power do I have over others? That kind of life ends up with a bunch of nothingness. In the adult class, if you have had the honor to be there under David Hebert, one may have experienced a transformation from time to time. A transformation as the word that you're studying open your heart and mind to this reality of the resurrected life. When you come to worship, you may not expect it to happen, but as you walk in, you might experience the presence of God so profoundly that when you walk out, you're different. It's not the same as when you walked in. So by taking another look at this resurrected life, we're coming home again and again and again. When I was growing up, I thought about this, that I would come home, say, from the military. I'd never tell Mom that I was coming home, because it would always be a surprise. I didn't want her to worry about the time or taking care of me or whatever. I'd just come home, you know, and it was a wonderful way for her and for me to come home again. So entering into and being transformed into this resurrection life can be a very simple thing happening in your experience, or it could be a very mysterious event as well, which I experienced on our trip west this spring. Or it could be very complex, and you don't know what to do, and you don't know what to think, and you don't know what to say, and in the complexity of the event, wham, truth enters in that you've never seen before, and it changes your life. That's part of what's going on in the resurrected life. So these two men were leaving Jerusalem and on their way to Emmaus, and here's all of a sudden, where did he come from? You know, this stranger who's going along with them. And these guys were heading home, but their hearts were very heavy. And when our hearts are heavy, time moves so slow. Yeah. But when we enter into conversation, and we're in the conversation, and we lose ourselves in the conversation, there's no time. We transcend it. And possibly our lives change. Hopefully that happens in the sermon. You know, times change because you're into it. So when the stranger walked up to join the men, he, what are you talking about? Well, they didn't recognize this guy for who he was, for reality. And so Cleophas says, are you the only guy around here that doesn't know what's happened in Jerusalem these last 3 days? And then the stranger is very wise, because he knew everything at that point of what had happened. And he said, what things? You know? And that begins conversation, you see. Don't be a know-it-all. Cleophas then told the stranger about the prophet of God and what the religious leaders, you know, the scribes, the Pharisees, did with him and had him crucified. Well, Israel crucified many prophets, you see, but this one they had hoped would be the Messiah, you see. And that's why their hearts were so low, because their hopes were dashed upon the rocks of time. But that wasn't the end of the story either. The strangers then talked about the women coming to the tomb and finding it empty. Oh, mystery. And the women then went to the men and told them what they had found, and that the tomb was empty, and that the angels had told the women that he was alive. That's even more mysterious. In the spirit of David Hebert, who loved stories, he had many, many, many stories. I will share this one with you because it's about being on the road. Again. And there's, I don't know if it's a true story, but the story contains truth, as David would say. And the story goes that Skipper died. She was 15. A natural, practical joker. You may know a few in your own life. And Skipper always was ready for a laugh. And her friends attended her funeral, and then they went to the graveside service, and as they were walking away, somebody in the group started this conversation. Do you reckon Skipper's got wings now? Suppose so, came another answer. Don't fancy wings, meself. Why is that? How can you get your shirt off? Don't be daft. Angels don't have shirts. Well, what's then? It's a nightie. Well, I ain't going to wear no nightie. It's sissy. And so life began again on the road. And as they walked further down the road, you reckon God got fed up or gets fed up? What for? Well, all them prayers and questions. If I was God, I'd make people laugh. If you was God, you wouldn't have made them. Well, if I was God, I'd dash them up alongside the head with a thunderbolt. Well, I got a good idea. Another miracle. No, straight up. What about starting another church? Stone the perishing crows. Ain't we God enough? No, I mean no prayers and no hymns. We'd all tell funny jokes about old Nick. That'll make him curl up. Yeah, a laughing church. Hey, that's a good idea. That is a laughing church. Well, there is such a church, and people go there to laugh, believe it or not. On the road again, another story, another truth. In my growing up years, I was on a different road, going to a church where if you laughed, oh brother, you would get it. Yeah. Church was serious, serious business. You know, as I thought about it, it was better in that church to go to sleep than to laugh. At least you would find some peace. Because we are constantly told how big of a sinner we were. In fact, we are such sinners that we would have to sign up for communion the week before communion took place. And if we didn't, and we came to the communion rail to get the communion, he wouldn't serve us unless we'd called ahead of time, because we had to contemplate the seriousness of our sin that whole week. I'm here to report today that I left that church. Because in that church, you see, dogma was more important than caring for each other. Now, church on the road, the church has been on the road, you know, for many, many, many years. But in the last years, 40s, 50s, 60s, we began losing members, you know, 25 to 30,000 members in our denomination every year. It's worse now. And so we're changing as a church. I don't know where we're going, but there's fewer and fewer churches that are growing. So like the two men on the road who hung on to their past teachings, not really remembering what the word said, so the stranger had to remind them what the prophets had said, and he began with Moses, because Moses was one of the first and their greatest prophet that they could remember, and interpreted to them what the other prophets had said through time that tried to change Israel, and then what the scriptures were saying about himself, which is very ironic when the script text said that. And I don't know if you caught that, but here he was talking to these guys about himself, but they didn't know it. So, knowing though what the word says in the text, and you get it in your being, and then you come along on the road again, and you experience an event, many times then, that event will connect with that word in your being, and bang, you're transformed again into a new insight, paradigm, into a new life. What an experience. And furthermore, about this laughter, irony, you know, creates laughter. And the Bible really is full of irony, but we miss a lot of it. But irony creates humor, and humor creates conversation, and conversation creates oneness when it's done in love, and love opens the door into this whole new reality and unites us together. And that is the paradigm of resurrection life. So what has the text really then said to us so far? Let me make it clear this morning. One, we're all on the road experiencing a transformation of life. We're all on it. Two, on the road, we're going home, And we may experience then several transformations, not just one big one in our past. Three, these transformations become our stories, and they change us in such a way that we got to tell somebody else about what happened. I had that happen, by the way, this past week. A very good friend of mine had to tell me about meeting God again in his life. And four, experiencing the word through irony then creates a humor, and through the humor, it's another way of coming to the truth. And five, the past does not control the present. So why, when we see truth and we see what we've been hanging on to is no longer true, why do we continue to want to hang on to it if it's no longer true? And so the present gets transformed by the future inbreaking of the Christ into our life that transforms us to whatever is going on right now and transforms us into the resurrected kind of life. And what kind of life is that? Well, it's a life where we know we're in the kingdom of God right now, folks. We're in it because God's everywhere. And then the resurrected life is God calling us to share that with others, the reality of the kingdom that's here that we're in, and to demonstrate it through healing and feeding the hungry and comforting those who mourn, and clothing the naked, and visiting those, not only in prison, but those who have imprisoned themselves, and enter into conversation with them. So as people of the resurrected life, we are being called to bring wholeness unto the lives of one another, because we see then the Christ in them as well as the Christ in us. So next Sunday we will experience communion with God and one another. And in that word about communion, the stranger stayed that night, broke bread, blessed it, broke it, and then they saw whom he was, and the guys all of a sudden, holy moly, here's the guy that we've been talking about. How ironic that was. And so they went and told the disciples about it, and then the disciples, he saw Peter, and then suddenly Jesus appears in the room. You see, and says, "Peace be unto you." Wow. Peace. The resurrected life, you see, we live in that peace no matter what is happening to us. And it's the peace of Christ in us that undergirds us to live out this life, whether it's simple, complex, confused, or mysterious. There is that underneath peace of Christ that moves us along down the road again. Amen.